Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A dramatic scene in Fayetteville. Police jump into the Cape Fear River to save a man who had jumped into that water. We are live with the story you'll see only on WRAL.
And it is a messy noon hour. Not really a great way to start a weekend. Another system on its way. I'll show you what parts of the weekend you can salvage. And the Carolina Hurricanes are trying to regroup and reset for game two of the Eastern Conference Final after losing that marathon game at PNC Arena. What the team says needs to be done to get a win on home ice. First, we are following two breaking news stories at noon. We've just heard from Durham police. They are investigating what they are calling an active assailant. This is in the 4100 block of Roxborough Street.
Yeah, Chief Patrice Andrews in Durham will be having a news conference. We'll take you to that. And we have a crew on the way. Sarah Kruger will be there momentarily. We'll get a live update from her. The other breaking news story we're following, a man who jumped off the Person Street Bridge into the Cape Fear River in Fayetteville is safe thanks to the actions of several police officers. Thanks for joining us this noon. I'm Jeff Hogan.
I'm Renee Chu. We're told five Fayetteville police officers jumped in after the man to save his life. Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays was on the scene shortly after this dramatic rescue. He joins us live from where this all unfolded. Gilbert.
Yeah, Renee, I tell you what, it's pretty amazing. This is the Person Street Bridge that we're talking about here, and if you see how far it is down to the Cape Fear River, we're told that the Fayetteville police got a call that someone had jumped into the water, and that is when they jumped into action. Now, the call came in just after 9 this morning that someone had jumped from the Person Street Bridge. Fayetteville police officers were first on the scene. We're told five officers didn't hesitate to jump in the cold water and rescue the man who had jumped in. Now, the water may look tranquil right now, but looks can be deceiving. Recent rain and the pile of logs that are based near the train track bridge made that rescue operation very dangerous for the officers.
The current is strong, it's cold outside, it's already raining, and you have officers that are in full uniform that are trying to jump in that jumped in the water and rescued him.
Now, the Fayetteville Fire Department's search and rescue team arrived to the scene, also helped pull everyone to safety. The victim was taken to Cape Fear Valley Medical Center. We're working to learn his condition, but we're told when he left the scene here, he was alive and breathing, so we'll try to get an update on that. When we got here earlier, the officers who had gone in the water were soaking wet. Some of them were still holding their shoes and regathering their equipment. Renee, we're told that one of the Fayetteville police officers was transferred to the hospital just to be checked out. But we're told he too is going to be okay.
And Gilbert, what a tremendous example of police officers risking their lives to save others. Gilbert Bays, thank you.
Showers are moving out, but more rain is on the way this weekend. We can expect storms Saturday evening. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at that timeline, Elizabeth.
We take a look at the radar, and it doesn't look like we have a lot of rain showing up on it, but there are a lot of places where we're seeing just drizzle, and sometimes the particles of drizzle are so fine that they're not showing up so much on the radar. We haven't seen much rain up in the northern part of the viewing area, but we've had scattered rain across the Triangle area and certainly off to the east as well. We have a low that's sitting off the coast, and that's going to be moving up the coast and taking this rain along with it. We continue to deal with a good bit of rainfall, especially around Goldsboro, up toward Wilson. There's been some heavier rain near the center of the low down near the Wilmington area where we've had some flooding. We're going to talk more about that coming up in just a little while, up to 10 inches with some issues near Leland right outside of Wilmington. But let's talk about how much rain that we've seen here so far out of the system. We've seen as much as almost an inch in the southern part of Wake County and down towards Smithfield and other places. It's been closer to a half an inch. And again, closer to the Virginia line, we haven't seen that much rain. We'll continue to see some scattered showers, most of it being light for the next little while. That heavier rain that's coming up from the south right now will slide off to the east, and we should begin to dry things out as we get into the evening. I don't think we'll see skies clear until tomorrow, but we will be able to salvage part of the weekend, including Saturday. Most of the daylight hours Saturday will be fine. This is lunchtime. You can see some clearing here. Temperatures will be in the low 80s, and then we have a front that comes in on Saturday night. This is 8 p.m. We're starting to see that rain and some thunderstorms moving through. Then overnight between 9 and 10 in the Triangle, that begins to start all off to the east. And gradually, as we get closer to lunchtime, we see that rain pushing off. And Sunday afternoon will be fine. So all day during the daylight hours on Saturday and then Sunday afternoon, all should be fine for getting outside. We take a live look here at downtown Raleigh. We still have damp streets. It's a bit breezy. We have some rain falling right now. Temperatures are in the mid-60s, and it is breezy. Highs will be in the low 70s for this afternoon. We'll talk a little bit more about some flooding down in Wilmington coming up in a bit.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth.
We now know the name of the woman who was shot and killed on Glasson Street in Durham. Police say 30-year-old Chanel Alston was shot and killed in the 3300 block there on Wednesday night. She later died at the hospital. Officers say the shooting did not appear to be random. They have not identified the shooter.
Video shows disappointed fans leaving PNC Arena early this morning. Many of them held out for nearly 6 hours during that game. WRL's Nia Harden shows us how they're feeling about being a part of history, but also dealing with a loss.
Like the famous Aaliyah says, if at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again. And I believe that's exactly what the Canes are going to do tomorrow when they play in the big game. A lot of fans were still out here to let them know that they are still excited that they have made it this far. They were asking for autographs at 3 a.m. And so the fans getting those autographs from players who were probably just as exhausted after this game had ended at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're talking nearly 6 hours after the game had started when this all happened. And, you know, for history, when we're talking about that, this was history not only for Carolina, but also history for Florida having the longest game. And then it was the sixth longest game in NHL history. Every time fans thought the game was close to being over, they would leave and then start rushing back.
Honestly, I thought I was going to be here for maybe 3 or 4 periods, but it lasted longer than I expected to. It was a great experience, you know, being out here this late. I mean, it sucks to drive home knowing that they lost, but it was still a great game.
And tickets are still available for tomorrow's game. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
So that long marathon, game one, is in the books. Be sure to join us again tomorrow night right here on WRAL. We'll have a special coverage of game two at 7:30. Puck drop is at 8 on TNT. When it ends, be sure to come back to WRAL for our exclusive post-game show at 11:25. We'll have more on the thoughts from fans, players, and head coach Rod Brind'Amour after game two.
Durham police are looking for a person who shot two men at the Avon Crossings apartments. One of those men died. People living there say they heard several gunshots around 4:30 yesterday afternoon. Some say, unfortunately, this is not uncommon for their community. Police say this appears to have been a targeted shooting. One person is dead after a crash in Johnston County. This happened around midnight near Raleigh and Hunting Lodge Roads in Johnston County. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was there until the scene cleared just before 3 a.m. The red car in this video appears to have crashed into a fence. We've asked Highway Patrol what led to the crash and more on the person who died. A reminder now, as we head into the summer travel season, buckle up. It could save your life. Seatbelt use was at 91% last year. In 2021, more than 26,000 people died in crashes. About 50% of those were not wearing seatbelts.
Durham city leaders held a groundbreaking today for a new mixed-income apartment complex that will transform the eastern part of downtown. The Elizabeth Street Apartments will have 72 units. They're replacing public housing that used to be on that site. When they're completed, the new apartments will be home to people from a variety of incomes. All prior tenants will have the right to return. The Durham Housing Authority CEO believes the new project will greatly improve living conditions.
You look around, clearly public housing is failing us all. So what we're trying to do is, one, make sure our dorm is inclusive, and we want to make sure that what we're producing is allowing our public housing families to have an opportunity to succeed.
The project was paid for by tax credits, ARPA funding, and from an affordable housing bond Durham voters passed in 2019. The apartments should be complete December of 2024.
North Carolina's agriculture and agribusiness has reached a new record. This morning, Commissioner Steve Troxler announced the economic impact reached $103 billion. That's nearly double the amount from when he took office in 2005.
When Commissioner Troxler took office in 2005, the value of agriculture was $59 billion. So you see, we've almost doubled the value of North Carolina agriculture. And that's due to our farmers and what they do and how efficient they become.
Agriculture is North Carolina's number one industry, employing about a fifth of the state's workforce. And agriculture is at the center of the annual Got to Be NC Festival, which is happening this weekend at the State Fairgrounds. The event starts today, runs through Sunday. There will be carnival rides, tractor parades, music, and food. Admission and parking are free.
Each time you drive down parts of Glenwood Avenue, you're driving over the unseen underground ruins of Raleigh's lost streetcar system. Earlier this week, a construction project unearthed a section of that track, and it was in remarkably good condition, just inches beneath the asphalt. Photos show the steel rails there, the wooden cross sections, even the hand-laid bricks that helped hold tracks in place. A portion of the track will be donated to the museum. For the full history and a live video exploring the tracks, you can visit WRL.com and search Hidden History.
And happening right now in the WRL Live Center, we are following some breaking news out of Durham. They say they're investigating what they're calling an active assailant. They are at the school right now, Excelsior Academy. They have this posted on their Facebook saying Pacific Avenue is closed at North Roxborough Street to Capitol Street, and the entrance to Excelsior Academy is closed. Police are on the scene right now. This is a picture of the school. This is Excelsior Classical Academy. They say, again, they're investigating what they're calling an active assailant. They are inside the school right now. We are hearing they have not found any shooter. They're just following up on reports. We do have a crew on the way. I want to show you exactly which street is closed. This is Excelsior Academy right here in between North Roxborough Street and Capitol Avenue. The Pacific Avenue is what is shut down right now. So if you were in that area, you will not be able to get through. That school is on lockdown right now. Again, we have a crew on the way. We'll bring you updates as soon as we have them.
Thank you, Michelle. Meantime, next at noon, an unusual, potentially dangerous protest in Maryland. Why a man with a gun is pacing near a school bus stop.
Also, another protest of sorts. Why people in Michigan are wearing wedding gowns with their arms chained and mouths taped shut.
Plus, it's a big festival weekend in Raleigh. At 12:30, the potential traffic problems you might run into and how to avoid them.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A California dermatologist is accused of trying to poison her husband with Drano. Emily Yu faces three felony counts of poisoning and one felony count of domestic battery with injury. Prosecutors say she was caught on camera putting the drain cleaner in her husband's lemonade. But her attorney claimed Yu was mixing it to bait and kill ants in the kitchen. Her lawyer claims his client's husband is making false claims against her in part because of a high-stakes divorce case.
A Maryland man is striking fear in the hearts of some patients and children, and here's why. The man has been pacing near an elementary school bus stop for about 3 weeks, and you can see the man holding an AR-15. He says he is protesting Maryland Governor Wes Moore's new gun control law, which prohibits people from wearing, carrying, or transporting a firearm in certain locations, including schools.
I think that if I do this enough, that it will create enough deterrence from crime in the area.
I feel like if we don't do something about it now, then we'll be talking again, and it'll be too late at that point.
Parents have reportedly asked for the man to be removed. Police say he is within his legal rights to be there with the firearm.
A 17-year-old girl faces murder charges in Tennessee after two of her classmates overdosed. The two high school juniors died hours before the school's graduation. The teen also faces charges of possession of a controlled substance. Investigators say they found drugs at the crime scene and at the suspect's home. Authorities believe the drug is fentanyl. The 17-year-old is under house arrest and required to take daily drug screenings until she returns to court next month. The gun handler on the set of the film Rust wants the charges against her to be dismissed. One person died in that 2021 shooting. Hannah Gutierrez-Reed and Alec Baldwin were both charged with involuntary manslaughter earlier this year. Prosecutors dropped the charges against Baldwin last month. Her lawyers claim prosecutors are trying to taint the jury pool.
We continue to follow breaking news. Right now, Durham Police Chief Patrice Andrews is about to speak about the situation in regards to Excelsior Charter Classical Academy. Let's listen in.
It was set. So we've got two different staging areas, one for fire EMS, and then we've got our command over here. So
I'm leaving my life here.
Thank you. All right, thank you. I'll see you. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I was trying to wait to see if they wanted to.
You let me know when you're ready.
Okay. All right. So I think we are live, and just so you know, we're live on WRAL. Can you tell us what the situation is here? We see a lot of police officers, a lot of concerned parents.
Yeah, definitely. So at 11:15 this morning, our 911 communications received a call, a third-party 911 caller, stating that there was an active shooter, or even and asking about whether or not there was an active shooter, because they had received information from a loved one. So obviously communications is going to treat that as there is an active assailant, which they should. At that point in time, they dispatched officers at about 11:16, 11:17, the first officers arrived on scene and began to mobilize and actually went into the building. They were able to clear all levels. Our tactical team arrived and conducted and is conducting right now a secondary tactical sweep of the building. And while they're doing that, we have the building on full lockdown. And we're asking that parents just come to the rear of this building, which is at 4117 North Roxborough Road, just coming to the rear. And so we'll have officers directing them in, and we can provide them with some updates. Because we do want to get the building released and back to the parents as quickly as possible so they can pick up their babies. We'll have chaplains on scene shortly to help start some of the healing that we know that they'll need from this process.
And this is Excelsior Academy, just so everyone at home knows that.
Yes, I'm sorry, Excelsior Academy, just across.
Just to be clear, nothing has been found.
Correct. There has been nothing found, no evidence of an active assailant, no firearms, no shots being heard, no evidence of that here. Just very scary.
And I know you're a mom.
Yeah.
There are parents in front of you, behind me. A lot of them are emotional, understandably.
Absolutely.
How do you process this as a mom?
You know, as a mom, and I actually have staff that have children that are in that school, and then watching these, it's hard as a police chief to stand here even as a mom and see the faces of the parents, right? I just, you know, it's hard to process, but I just have to reassure them that, you know, we are going to be here for them, and hope that, you know, the children will be okay, because it is traumatic for them as well. So it's very hard to process that this is the world that we are in now. It's frustrating. It's frustrating that our kids can't just simply go to school to learn.
And if this ends up being a false, malicious report of a, you know, a fake active shooter, there are legal consequences for that, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We, our intelligence units work very, very closely. Anytime we get something at any one of our schools, we have a very robust intelligence team, and we provide all of the necessary information that so the sheriff's office might need, or even our investigators in this case would need, to prosecute if it's found that this was a malicious call. At this point in time, I've heard the 911 call. It does not. Thank you. It does not sound malicious at this point in time.
And I know we heard from you yesterday speaking to City Council for your first quarter crime report. One of the things you talked about was staffing and 80% of sworn positions being filled, which is not as many as you would like.
Yeah.
Was staffing an issue responding to a call of this nature today?
No, it was not. I've never seen so many police officers in one spot, because it's our kids. You know, none of us gave birth to them, but they're our kids. So we're here. Whatever it takes.
And now, what's next? You all are going room by room. And
room by room.
Kids are still on lockdown?
Kids are still on lockdown. So we'll check in with our tactical folks to see if we can, if they have completed clearing the building. It's this quite a sizable building. So I think there's at least four stories to the building, so they're going to go room by room until they feel that the building has been cleared properly.
Yeah. Do you happen to know the ages of the children at this school?
I don't know the specific age range. I think it's middle school, I believe. It might be elementary, middle school. It's a charter school. I'm not real sure. Yeah.
Well, thank you for
your
time.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we have anything new to share, so
Chief Patrice Andrews there wrapping up a news conference less than an hour after the first 911 call came in about an active assailant in the 4100 block of North Roxborough Street.
And right now, Chief was talking about how she has police officers going room by room through the school to make sure that there is not a threat. The kids are still under lockdown. She did emphasize that there is no shooter at the school. They did not find any evidence of that. They did not find any weapons. Everybody is safe, but they are going through the school still right now to make sure that it is all clear.
Yeah, 2-minute response time, also pretty good. When you hear the call came in at 11:15, 11:17, officers on the scene did one sweep through just as an initial, you know, precautionary, make sure everything's safe, and now going room to room.
Chief Patrice Andrews also talked about, and I thought this was really poignant, this is the world that we live in, right? This is very frustrating that she said kids cannot just show up to school and learn. There are so many concerned parents there at this charter school in Durham. This is the 4100 block of Roxborough Street, Excelsior Classical Academy.
All right. We'll continue to follow this, of course, with crews on the ground right there. And we'll come back. Elizabeth Gardner has our weekend forecast when it includes that rain.
We've been dealing with showers since early this morning. We continue to have some of those showers showing up on the radar. Right now, the rain is heaviest closer to the coast. It is a coastal low. It's a low pressure system that will continue to stay near the coast and move away from us as we get through the afternoon. But there's still some light rain that's happening across the area. And we've had some flooding down in the Wilmington area. We're going to touch on that in just a second. Let's zoom in here. And you can see just some light patchy rain because we've had cloud cover and we continue to see the showers out there. Our temperatures are cool. It is gray. We're looking at some heavier showers that are starting to pop up here around Goldsboro. This is going to be, of course, a little bit closer to where that low is as it sits just off the coast down near the Wilmington area. Let's move down here. You can see the green boxes. This is where we've had flood warnings. We've had as much as 10 inches of rain across parts of the coast near Wilmington. We take a look at our 24-hour rainfall. Here in the orange, this is going to be 6 to 7.5 inches, but we've had some isolated totals up to, or potential up to 10 inches, and that has caused some flooding around the Wilmington area. This is all from that coastal low. You can see these flooding reports. We've had as many as 20 cars that were stranded. We've had water in buildings right here around Leland, which is across the Cape Fear River from Wilmington. So there have been some water rescues there. It's almost similar to what we would see with a tropical system. It does look like that low will start to move away shortly and that water should begin to subside, but it's been a mess for folks down there. Here's what we're looking at. Some of that rain that's heavier closer to the coast, pushing up across our area, at least for the next hour to 2 hours. And then gradually the low moves away and we begin to see our rain tapering off. It's likely to be cloudy for the rest of the day today and tonight. But tomorrow morning, after we get through, say, about 7, 8, 9 o'clock, we should begin to see a bit of clearing. It'll be partly cloudy through the afternoon. Saturday's not looking bad. Now, Saturday night, we have a line of thunderstorms that will come through. At this point, it doesn't look like it would be severe. At 8 o'clock, it's back to our west. By 10 and 11 o'clock, it's moving right through the triangle and then continues to sort of wash out and stall, and we'll have some showers in the area in the morning. You can see that from the triangle area south and east there around 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. By lunchtime, we start to see some clearing from the west. But it's messy out there right now. Even these light showers, you can see how much rain, how much water we have on the camera lens, and it is wet out there in Sanford. We're seeing that in a lot of places, and it's cool too, 65 degrees, and we'll see highs in the low 70s. Looking at 72 in Durham and Raleigh and 72 in Fayetteville. So it stays cool today. We will say that rain moving out, it should be dry for the Durham Bulls game, but temperatures will be in the 60s. And if you're headed out to Got to Be in C this evening, same story. Temperatures will be cool, but the rain should be over as long as you're not heading out until after work. We're proud sponsors of Artsplosure. We're going to talk about the forecast in more detail for the weekend about when it will stay driest.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up in our next half hour, President Biden is on the world stage at the G7 summit. How the president is juggling meetings with world leaders and monitoring the debt ceiling debate here at home.
And in many rural areas of the U.S., Wi-Fi is spotty at best. Also ahead, the effort to connect tribal lands to the World Wide Web and why the federal program could be in jeopardy. First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The G7 leaders agreed to tighten sanctions against Russia and pledge financial support for Ukraine as President Volodymyr Zelensky is on the way to join them in Japan. While President Biden meets with the leaders of the world's most powerful democracies, the summit is being overshadowed by the debt ceiling crisis here at home. NBC's Bree Jackson reports.
President Biden in Japan, meeting with leaders of the world's largest economies as negotiators back home try to avoid an economic catastrophe.
Look, we're not there. We haven't agreed to anything yet, but I see the path that we could come to an agreement.
While overseas, the president is staying on top of debt limit talks, even leaving a G7 dinner early to get updates. On Thursday, Vice President Harris stressed what's at stake, echoing the administration's warning that a first-ever government default could spark a recession, cause the U.S. to lose millions of jobs, and damage the country's international reputation.
This does not have to be a crisis. Our position is clear and simple. Congress must act to prevent default.
One major sticking point, the GOP's plan to impose stronger work requirements for social safety net programs, like food stamps and housing assistance.
And so the ball is firmly in the court of the President of the United States and Senate Democrats to respond to what we've already done.
The president has to have the option to say, these things go too far. They are not acceptable. I'm not going to harm American families.
A growing number of Senate Democrats are signing on to this letter, calling on Mr. Biden to invoke the 14th Amendment. That would allow him to raise the debt ceiling without congressional authorization.
And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned that invoking the 14th Amendment could lead to a constitutional crisis. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, President Biden now saying this afternoon that he would support an international effort to train Ukrainian pilots in flying advanced fighters, including the F-16s. President Volodymyr Zelensky has pressed for Russia's superior air force. Several U.S. officials are saying that President Biden is now saying they are supporting the international effort. They say they would discuss in the coming months how to supply Kyiv with the jets themselves. President Biden is reversing course on this because he was reluctant to provide Ukraine with any major weapons systems. So we're hearing also Secretary of State Antony Blinken was a driving force behind this decision. That is the latest in the war with Russia and Ukraine.
A traffic alert in Raleigh this weekend. Some major road closures could jam drivers around the fairgrounds and PNC Arena. WRL's Brian Schrader has alternate routes that could save you time and hassle.
What a weekend in West Raleigh. At the state fairgrounds, the Got to BNC Festival runs Friday through Sunday.
It's a taste of the state fair.
And across the street, the Carolina Hurricanes play Saturday night.
It is going to be a busy weekend on this side of Raleigh. And even if all the roads were open, it would get congested. But some of the roads are closed.
WRAL Sky 5 shows the construction zone, where Hillsborough Street is closed at Blue Ridge Road and Blue Ridge is closed at the railroad tracks. Those are major roads to get into the fairgrounds and to the arena, but State Fair Manager Kent Yelverton says so far the construction has not been a problem.
We've really seen no impact. A lot of our visitors come from different directions. Most of our visitors don't even see that construction sites.
And you can avoid it by coming in from Wade Avenue and Edwards Mill Road. That'll get you to PNC Arena. And if you're going to the State Fairgrounds, you can use Trinity Road. Yelverton and Hurricanes General Manager Don Waddell say that they always work together to accommodate drivers during big events, and this weekend will be no exception.
If we're all working together, we're going to make it happen.
We've got two big events in the area, but we have a lot of partners, and we're all ready.
Brian Schrader, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Moore, Lee, and Cumberland counties. In Moore County, Carthage neighbors can weigh in on a plan for an indoor shooting range to train law enforcement and first responders. Commissioners are thinking about rezoning a 40-acre property at Sandhills Community College to make that possible. There will be public discussion about this plan next month.
Need a new vehicle? How about office equipment, a mower, or even a backhoe? The city of Sanford will have a variety of surplus items available for auction on govdeals.com. The auction starts at 8 a.m. May 29th, which is a week from this coming Monday. The auction ends at 8 p.m. June 8th. People in Fayetteville are getting their child seats checked for safety by experts right now. The Fayetteville Fire Department is partnering with Safe Kids Worldwide to host a child passenger safety check until 1 o'clock in the Target parking lot on Skybow Road. Certified car seat technicians are there to check car seats, teach people about safety, and answer questions. A reminder, 3 fire stations serve as permanent car seat check stations in Fayetteville. They are on Rose Hill Road, Santa Fe Drive, and Hope Mills Road.
First Lady Jill Biden is working to expand broadband connectivity for households living on tribal lands. The Biden administration's infrastructure bill tries to address this through the Affordable Connectivity Program. Millions of households depend on it. Zinli Essenois reports the program's funding could soon run out.
I live in a woods and I need Wi-Fi.
Retiree Lori May is a member of Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. She lives on a limited income, and today she's signing up for discounted broadband internet through the Affordable Connectivity Program, or ACP, which risks running out of funding by 2024.
There is a large need for internet service here.
What is the Affordable Connectivity Program?
The Affordable Connectivity Program is the nation's largest broadband affordability effort in our history.
The $14.2 billion initiative is funded by the Biden administration's bipartisan infrastructure bill. And if Congress doesn't fund the program again or incorporate it into other budgets, it likely won't exist past 2024. ACP provides up to $30 off or $75 off on tribal lands of monthly internet services to households.
It's a program meant to help families who are struggling to get online to stay online and make sure they have the connections they need to succeed in today's age.
Families who qualify are those eligible for at least one of the following: free and reduced lunch, SNAP, WIC, Medicaid, federal housing assistance, SSI, and some veteran benefit and tribal assistance programs. For many Red Lake Nation members, ACP is a lifeline.
We deal with poverty, so this program really helps out our people.
As of May 15th, more than 18 million households have signed up. But still, only 35% of eligible households are enrolled, according to the FCC.
That was Zinli Essenois reporting. The Affordable Connectivity Program has been criticized by some for a complicated sign-up process. The FCC says it is simplifying the application process for people to enroll.
The highest-ranking Asian-American officer on Raleigh's police force would like to see more officers of Asian descent serving.
Police departments are probably one of the most visible representations of government that's out in the community. And when we have these immigrant communities moving into our area, we have to reflect that diversity and that vibrancy of what they bring to the table.
We continue our series honoring AAPI Heritage Month. Coming up, I'll introduce you to some of Raleigh Police's trailblazers and their push for more AAPI representation on the force. It is AAPI Heritage Month and National Police Week. Departments strive to represent communities they serve. Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are underrepresented when it comes to law enforcement in Raleigh. I talked with some Raleigh police trailblazers and their push for more AAPIs on the force.
We as law enforcement officers, there's a brotherhood and a sisterhood.
Lieutenant Jason Borneo has served with Raleigh Police for 17 years and counting. He's currently Raleigh's highest-ranking Asian-American police officer, a career his parents, who immigrated from the Philippines, never imagined for their son.
What did your family think when you told them that you wanted to become a police officer?
Surprise and shock. I think, especially in the Asian-American culture and for a lot of Asian-American families, the trajectory is science, technology, engineering, and math.
Borneo says his parents came to the U.S. with nothing but worked to make this their adopted home. That inspired him to serve and protect.
We have to reflect the community that we're serving.
9 Asian American officers serve on Raleigh's police force, making up 1.3% of officers. That's well short of the 4.8% AAPIs represent in Raleigh's population.
Why is representation so important, especially from a law enforcement perspective?
Yeah, we know that trust is eroded with law enforcement. In order to build back that trust, we have to be out there in the community.
I am Japanese American.
Gerald Takano retired as a Raleigh police lieutenant in 2017 after 25 years. He was one of 2 Asian officers to first serve in the capital city.
Takano says his early days as an officer attracted curiosity.
It would almost daily or weekly someone call me over and nothing more. Just very friendly say, hey, you know, you're not African-American and you're not white. What are you? And I'd tell them, well, I'm Japanese, you know, by heritage and stuff. And they say, oh, well, very, very good, you know, and stuff like that. And then the funny part would always be that they'd say, well, and you also speak very good English.
Borneo says his background helps in his community policing.
Because I can identify with a lot of folks that, for me, seeing my parents struggle with language, struggling with the acclimation to the culture and the country, gave me some level of incentive to make sure that those that are immigrating here know that there are folks that are supporting them.
Is there a new concerted effort to try and recruit from different backgrounds?
Yeah. So I think we have some work to do. I think, you know, Chief Patterson has instilled a number of different incentives to draw in to recruit from different parts of the country, from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. We got to move that needle upwards.
I checked with police departments across our viewing area. No surprise, the higher numbers of AAPI officers are in the triangle. Durham has 6 AAPI officers and 1 recruit, making up 1.4% of its force. Cary has 5 AAP officers, which account for 2.8% of its force. Mooresville has 2 South Asian officers, and Apex and Chapel Hill each have 2 AAPI officers.
Take you back out to a live look at Excelsior Classical Academy in Durham, where police responded to a call about an active assailant in that area. Everyone is safe right now. Sarah Kruger is there with us, our WRL Durham reporter. She'll talk live with a parent on those grounds after the break. Right now, we want to get you back to that breaking news we are following out of Durham after someone called police reporting a threat at a charter school.
WRL Durham reporter Sarah Kruger is live there now at Excelsior Academy. Sarah, we heard the police chief talking earlier. Students are safe. There was no threat, but you've been speaking with parents who are certainly shaken up about this.
Renee, that is the most important part, that right now everyone is safe. Police still are doing a sweep of this school right here behind me, going room by room. They want to take nothing for granted and leave no stone unturned. And then around me here across Roxborough Street, you can see dozens of parents who are eagerly awaiting reunification with their children. Excelsior Classical Academy is a K through 12 school. Some of the kids that we're talking about are very young. That includes the child of Kelly Knight, who I have with me here. She's a parent of a kindergartner and of a freshman here at the school. Kelly, how are you holding up?
I mean, as best as you can. I'm trying to keep it together so that my kids are not even more afraid when they see me upset. I think, you know, my teenager obviously would understand it, but six-year-olds, mommy's upset, that's a reason for me to be upset kind of thing. So trying to keep it peaceful for them.
And talk to me about your emotions, especially as you were coming racing over here to the school, not knowing what was happening.
I came when my daughter said that there was a lot of chitter chat about something on Instagram and she didn't feel safe. And so she asked if we could come get her. I said, let me unload the car. We'll come get you. And I texted her, told her we were on the way. I drove up to this and I lost it in the car. I was like, you know, sobbing. I just want my kids, because at that point we didn't know that everyone was safe. So, yeah, it was scary.
And looking at this, at all of you moms and dads waiting for your kids, as a mom myself, my heart breaks for you all. And I just can't imagine being in your shoes. Is this something that you worry about every day when you drop your kids off?
Every day, because you never know. Like, it happens all the time. And so we never know if we're dropping our kids off and that's the last time we're going to see them. We have no way of knowing that.
And your kindergartner, how are you going to try to explain to him what's been happening? I mean, he's been on lockdown for quite some time now.
I think I'm just going to frame it as the police and the school doing the absolute best they can to make sure that everyone is safe no matter what. Because they have to treat every threat as reality, right? So while this was probably just a mix-up and not an actual active situation, they're going to treat it like it is and make sure our babies are safe. And I think that's what I'm going to try and make sure he knows.
Thank you, Kelly, for your time. Again, all of these parents here just waiting to get the word that they can go across the street and go see their children. So we are going to stay out here for that, and we'll keep you posted on any developments. Jeff and Renee.
Sarah Kruger, live in Durham. Thank you, Sarah. It was great to hear from that parent talking. Such a roller coaster of emotions for the parents and for the staff and students there. Certainly no threat, no attacker, no weapon found. That's good news, but a lot of frustration as well.
Well, her words ring out about dropping off kids and wondering, you know, if today is the day. We'll be back. Elizabeth Garter is going to have a look at our weekend forecast coming up as you look live at the Deep App in Durham.
Continuing to track light rain around the Triangle area. It's a little bit heavier closer to the coast. Of course, this is where our low pressure system is, and it will continue to move off to the northeast. But right now it is spreading a good bit of rain into eastern North Carolina. And we're seeing a little bit of that in the eastern part of our viewing area. We'll zoom in right here around the Triangle area. Some patchy light rain around Wake County, stretching all the way back toward the Triad area, down through the Sandhills, and stretching as far north as up here around Franklin County. We're not seeing too much north of Rocky Mount, but we'll continue to see the rain in our eastern counties for at least a few more hours. Here's a look at our high-resolution satellite, and you can see, even though it's not really raining this far west, lots of cloud cover. So it's going to be a while before we clear out. It's not likely that most of us will see much sunshine today, and it should stay fairly cloudy tonight, but tomorrow we'll be back to some sunny skies as this whole system moves away from us. Here's a look at Goldsboro. Goldsboro is breezy and wet right now. We're seeing the showers falling here in Apex. Right now in Chapel Hill, we've begun to dry out a little bit. Chapel Hill's just far enough north and west that we haven't seen as much rain, but taking a look at Clinton. Clinton is definitely wet at the moment. Here's a look at our low pressure system. It is continuing to move up the coast. Of course, we talked about Wilmington earlier, where we had one of the high schools, Brunswick High School, was flooded. Several water rescues, as much as 10 inches of rain. As the low moves off over the next 3 or 4 hours, things should improve there. This is the system that will arrive here for tomorrow night, bringing a chance of showers and thunderstorms. And we're looking at some dry conditions between now and then. Continuing to see the low move away from us late this afternoon, we'll see cloudy skies, and it will be dry overnight tonight and for much of tomorrow. Here's Saturday at lunchtime, partly cloudy skies, and then of course we have the showers and thunderstorms that'll roll through. Right now we're not under level risk of severe storms, so it doesn't look like anything will be severe, but we will see some steady to heavy rain overnight and into the first few hours of the morning on Sunday. Then everything moves on out. We are proud sponsors of Artsplosure. A lot of the morning crew will be out there at different times, emceeing stages. Partly cloudy Saturday. Saturday is going to feel pretty good, 83 degrees. We will see some late evening thunderstorms. It'll continue overnight, and we'll wake up to some rain on Sunday morning, but it should be all out of the viewing area by lunchtime. We'll see a high of 78. So during the daylight hours on Saturday and then Sunday afternoon will be good times to get outside and enjoy all of the events that are happening. So many festivals going on this weekend. Of course, we get into next week, and it looks comfortable. Upper 70s to low 80s. Overnight lows will be in the 50s. Elizabeth, thanks. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update coming up in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great, safe weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.